Come Rosh Hashanah, I always have this problem by Malchios. Imru lefonai Malchios, Kedeshetam lichuni aleichem. And I've mentioned it before, and nothing is becoming very much better by me. It's still very, very difficult for me to figure out exactly what Malchus is, such that when I say these 10 psukim of Malchios, they should somehow make it possible for me, or easier for me, or I don't know exactly what the right word would be, to be mamlich the Rebbeinu Shlalom over me, to imru lefonai Malchios kedei shetamlichuni aleichem. I can't believe that it's just saying the words of the psukim. So there has to be some kind of process of tamlichuni, and that somehow has to come from our recitation of the psukim in which the Ribbono Shlalom is described as a melech. To say that I understand how that process is going to work is a lot to say, because I don't think it works for me. Am I mamlich the Ribbono Shlalom? I don't know. I say Kriyas Shema every day, and I hope that there's something there. But even in my very imperfect kavona and whatever it's supposed to be, but how am I mamlich the Ribbono Shlalom? What, especially, it's a problem today for us, because we're here in America, and we don't have any melochim here in America, and we know what we do have, and so we have never experienced malchus, and if somebody were to tell us, okay, look, we have a great idea that America has been working quite well, but I think it could really work better if we went back to the monarchy. Let's appoint a king. It's not going to work very well, and nobody's going to be mekabelet. I don't know what a king is. I know what a king isn't. I just wanted to mention this. Some of you may remember in an earlier shiurim a few years back, I tinted that this cartoon thing which they have here in America, I don't know whether it still exists, but they had the Bernstein Bears or something like that. So it was some kind of a story about a family of bears. And I tinted it's a big sakona, that book, because the thrust of the cartoon was that the father bear always made a fool of himself, and the children and the mother set him straight. So like the book had as its message that fathers are stupid. And that's not a gesunte Sache. I think that's a very, very destructive kind of thing. And I'm just holding a book in my hand, which I'm sorry to mention this. I don't believe that many of you would have ever heard about this as part of a shiur. The Mystery of the Disappearing Fish. Stories of the Tzaddikim. And what's the story over there? That somehow they raised taxes on the fish, and it was going to cost a lot, and people weren't going to have fish for Shabbos. So the Tzaddik was geyser that no more fish should come into the rivers. And that made a terrible thing, because the king liked fish, and he wasn't going to be able to have fish for his supper every night. And it was a terrible, terrible thing, and it became a big sakana for the Jews. And then the tzaddik came along, and he said, okay, I told the fish to go away, I'm going to tell them to come back, but you have to be nice to the Jews, something like that. So it's full of pictures, and the king looks like a total scheiter. And he's got a funny kind of beard and a funny kind of a hat, and he makes a funny kind of a face. And that is what which I hope we don't, show our children, that when they say the word king, they have a visual picture of this dopey kind of man in the pictures over here. And I think that these things leave their mark, I would imagine. All right, I know that Kadisroel has bigger problems than the mystery of the disappearing fish, but I just wanted to mention that to grasp what is there about monarchy. I ought to know, I come from England, but the trouble is that it doesn't mean much there either. And Oh, it's stupid to call them kings and queens. I mean, that's just a joke. But I mean, so what is kingship? Kingship is important. So I don't know exactly whether I have the answers to this question or these questions, but I think I have a partial answer, and maybe it's a good answer, I don't know. But what I wanted to say that is, as a hemshach to last week's shiur, I don't know whether you remember, but I quoted over the some Odom Godel who said that if you come to this yeshiva, I can't promise you you'll go to Olam Habo, but at least I can promise you you won't have Olam Hazeh. And I asked the question at the shiur, so what's so bad about Olam Hazeh? The Torah is full of promises of Olam Hazeh, that your fields will be produce wonderful fruits, and so on and so on and so on. And the emes is that we are holding by Kisovai, and Kisovai is there's some very strange, I think, formulations in the title there. And so we all know Kisovai. You have to have the Teichocha later on, but it starts off V'hoyem Shamara Tishma B'Kol Hashem Elokecha. What's going to be if you're good? Baruch Ato Ba'ir, Baruch Ato Ba'sodeh, Baruch Pribit Nechon, Samtzav Shigal Ofecho, Ashtroish Tzeinecho, Tanacho Mishatecho, Baruch Bava'echo, B'tzeisecho, Yitzen Hashem Es Oivecho, Hakomim Olecho, Nigofim Lefonecho, Yitzam Hashem Itcho Es Habrocho, Ba'asomecho, V'chol Mishlach Yodecho, Uve'racho Ba'oros Hashem Elokecho, Noisen Lach, all the Gashmis in the world that you can think about. And then it goes on. Yikimcha Hashem lo le'am kodosh, ka'asher nishbalach. You're going to be an am kodosh. Now, what are you going to make an am kodosh? You're going to be an am kodosh whose tanacho mishatecho is very good, and his pribitnecho and the priyat mosro is very good. Everything is nice. Gashmi is the yishlach Hashem es habrocho uvechol mishlach yodecho ve'rachecho be'oros Hashem elokecho noisen lach. And that will apparently help for you. Kimcha Hashem lo le'am kodosh, kasher nishbalach, am kodosh. Kiddush is precious. Kisishma is mitzvos, Hashem elokecho, volachto bidrochav. And then the posuk goes on with a very, very strange posuk. V'rohu kal amei ho'oretz, kishem Hashem nikro olecho, v'yoru mimeko. That's a moirodik posuk. V'rohu kal amei ho'oretz, kishem Hashem nikro olecho, v'yoru mimeko. How will they see that Shem Hashem Nikro Lech? I don't even know how to touch it. As I looked at a couple of Chumashim who have English, not very impressive. Kishem Hashem Nikro Lech, that the name of God will be called upon you, or something like that. What does that mean? V'yoru mimeko, and the people will be scared of you. Why will they be scared of you? Jesus, the Goyim will look at a Jew, and they'll be really scared. Because V'ro kol amei ho'oretz, kishem Hashem Nikro Lech. Now, I just was moide that I don't know exactly what it means, Kishem Hashem Nikro Alecho. And so I certainly don't know why that will generate fear. And you know, we have this story, I mentioned it in an earlier shiur once a few years ago. I don't know whether it's true, but I think that people talk about the Briskerov, Zechel Tzadik Livrocha, that he had to that he had to walk through an area, a Mesukentik area, where there were Nazis around, and that he had to go there, and he was obviously like very, very dangerous. So they asked him like, how were you able to protect yourself from the dangers? So he said, because he kept on saying, now I keep, you've known already that I'm sometimes forgetting words, so I don't remember anymore the exact nusach, but the nusach which he said was Hashem Hu Elokim, that's not the right one, but something like that. That means that he concentrated totally without any kind of hesekadas. I wish I could remember the right nusach. I'm sure all of you know what I mean, and that's what saved him. What does it mean, Kishem Hashem Nikolecha v'yoru mimeka. What did the Nazis who saw him walking through? I mean, he must have looked like a Yid. I'm sure he kept his beard. So why were they afraid? What make them afraid? What makes people afraid? If you have Kishem Hashem, Nikolecha v'yoru mimeka. So it's difficult for me to understand. And what is this Malchus? It's so desperately important that we have to know what it means to be Mekabel Malchus Shemaim. What does it mean? So if as a result of whatever it says in this parsha earlier, I read it very quickly. Yes, all the things would be nice and good and ahin and aher, and then kol kishem Hashem nikra. Okay, did we ever see a king? Has anybody over here seen a king ever? Well, okay, I saw King George VI out on the balcony on VE Day and VJ Day when they had victory in Europe and victory over Japan. It's a while back, in 1945. So the royal family came out on the balcony of Buckingham Palace and I saw a king. That's not what the Torah was talking about. So have any of us ever seen a king? Hands up, anybody who ever saw a king? Okay, I can't see anybody. So probably most of us will say we never saw a king. Except, of course, that we do. We see a king every morning by davening, except on Shabbos. What does that mean? That means that you know, the Rosh and the Tur brings him in Simchof Hei and Chaim, that the Rosh used to, when he organized the Birkas HaShachar, so he made it so that he put on his tefillin right before Oite Yisrael B'Sif Ora, that the Rebbein Hashem crowns, and HaTorah is a crown. So presumably, when somebody wears a crown, so he's a king. So what is it? So the tefillin. Yeah, the Chazal say that Baruch Kol Ami Oretz Kishem Hashem Nikro Alecho V'Yoru Mimeko is the tefillin. Ele tefillin Shebereish. So when we put on tefillin, we are apparently putting on a crown, because the Yecheskel, you have the story that when he lost his wife, and the Rebbein Hashem told him that he's not allowed to be Noyeg Avelus. So what did the Rebbein Hashem say? One of the things, Pe'erucho Chavosh Alecho, that even though an Oinon is not supposed to wear tefillin, Pe'erucho Chavosh Alecho, don't practice Aninus. That he wasn't allowed to practice any Avelus, and that was one of the things that, in contradistinction to regular Avelim, who for certain times do not wear tefillin, so you should continue wearing tefillin. So it's a pe'er. So pe'er, what is pe'er? Pe'er is beauty. Tiferes. Tiferes, the shoresh from which tiferes grows, is pe'er. And pe'er is a crown. So we've all seen kings, namely ourselves. No? So is that in fact so? When we put on tefillin in the morning, do we feel particularly king-like? Again, I can only say that I don't, and it just doesn't seem to work for me, or at least I'm not working at it sufficiently. So, how are we supposed to deal with these things? So, and how do we deal specifically with this combination over here, which I read part of it to you, right? That this will be good. Pri atmosro, pri behemtecho, shgalofecho, ashtroes tzenecho, tanacho, mishatecho. Yeah, and the victories. Ba'asomecho, v'chol mishlach yodecho, v'irachecho, b'oraz Hashem v'kecho, noisenloch, yikimcho loy. Hashem lau la'am kodosh, kasha nishbaloch, kisishmo es mitzvos Hashem elakecha. Volachta vidrochov. Then, and we don't know what Nikro Alecho means. Rabbi says, how am I supposed to be a good Jew if I don't even know the Perush HaMilas of a fundamental posuk like this? And I mean, and the whole shaychus between the parts of this parsha, the one promising and guaranteeing the most wealthy and successful Gashmias, and that makes you into an Am Kodesh. You came from Hashem Loi Am Kodesh because you brought in a wonderful harvest. And Kisishma is mitzvah Hashem Elakechov Alachta Vidrochov, V'rohu Kalam Eoretz Kishem Hashem Nikro Alecho V'yorom Imeko with your Tfilin Shel Rosh. What is going on? And why doesn't it work for me, the Tfilin Shel Rosh? And I suspect if you, I can't see any of you having raised your hands, whether you'd seen a king or not. So I don't know what's happening but in your various houses. But what is going on? What can it mean? V'roh kol ame ha'oretz kishem Hashem nikro alecho v'yoro mimeko. Kishem Hashem nikro alecho. What does that mean? The name of Hashem is pronounced over you, I think Hatzkrol says, or something like that. Maybe it's pronounced, maybe it's some other word, don't remember. But what is it saying? Kishem Hashem nikro alecho. Do any of you feel that the name of Hashem is pronounced over you when you put on tefillin in the morning? If you do, and you know what it means, if you could share it with me, I would be enormously grateful. I don't know what it means. The difference is that I can make a suggestion what it might mean. Now, I don't know whether I've ever mentioned this Ibn Ezra. I think I have, but if so, it's probably years ago. The idea of the shame of a name, what does it mean? The Nikro Alecho, I still don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to tell you what it means, Nikro Alecho. I guess that people will see, they'll remark on the fact that the Shem Hashem is upon you, whatever it means. But what is the Shem Hashem? What does it mean, the Shem Hashem is on you? So I want to suggest, I don't know whether that's right, but I want to suggest that the Ibn Ezra, the Ibn Ezra has a number of small sforim. We know the Ibn Ezra from the Perush on Chumash, but there are also a number of small books which the Ibn Ezra wrote on various topics. I have the set. It's a four-volume set, and it's a book about this, book about that. And one of the books is the Sefer Hashem. That means the Sefer which deals with the concept of shame. So what does a shame mean? What is a shame? So we know, we can translate it. A shame is a name. So if he would have written the book in English, he would have said, what does a name mean? Difference is, he wouldn't have had an answer. What is his answer? What does shame mean? So what he says is that shame belongs to the same family. I'm not sure exactly in grammatical terms, like what exactly the commonality is. But what he says is that shame is the same word as shom, shom meaning there. So shame, shom, same letters, except that the nakudas are different. So a shame is something that creates a shomness, a being there. So the mushal which he gives, and there's a mufarush on the sefer also, and I think he talks about the same thing, that a name, when you mention a name, it conjures up the bearer of that name as though he were standing there. In the mushal that he gives us, if you say Reuven Chacham, Reuven is a Chacham. Reuven, we both know Reuven, and I want to tell you something about him. You know, Reuven is a Chacham. Now, is it true that Reuven is a Chacham? What is Reuven a name? So you're saying that the name is a Chacham, the name is wise. The name isn't wise. So what does it mean? So you mean the person who carries that name. But how do I come to be talking about Reuven? Teretz is that the shame brings the person over here. It creates a shamness that by using the word shame in the way that these usages have, I guess, developed. So when everybody knows that when I say Reuven is a Chacham, I don't mean the name Reuven is a Chacham, but the person who carries the name. So what is it? The carrier of that name is a Chacham. Shame Hashem, Kaviyochel. Obviously, you have to be careful over here what we say or what we think about when we are saying these words. But it seems that if the Ibn Ezra is right, and for practical purposes, I don't see like he's a Rishon, and Ibn Stami is right. So what is happening over here? So what is happening over here, it seems to me, is that Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, that means that the shomness of the Ribbono Shel Olam, the being there of the Ribbono Shel Olam, which sounds, by the way, like terrible apikosis, Eino Guf, Mikra Guf, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not there, or here, or there, or there. Position doesn't apply to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and so on. Many other things don't apply also. So we're dealing with very, very edel concepts over here, which none of us really have a big understanding of what is meant. But it seems to me, ki shem Hashem nikra lecha v'yoru mimecha, that if you act in the way which I've just now been describing, and I'll describe that a little better in a moment, then the shem Hashem is nikra lecha. That means when people see you, they say, this is a godly person. This is, when I see him, I feel closer to God. He reminds me of God. The experience of dealing with him is, as far as anybody can say such a sentence, it is in my register of experiences, it is an experience that is akin to if I were able to feel myself in God's presence. That's somehow what this posuk, I think, means if we accept the Ibn Ezra. So, Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'yoru Mimecha. So then they're taka afraid of you, the people. If they see that Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, they notice, and they're walking down the street, the story, as I've mentioned that also before, about the Gaon, there's a story that for some reason that the Goyim in Vilna wanted to disgrace the Jews in some way. So they wanted to parade the Gaon down the streets of Vilna and have all the people jeering and making fun of him as they schlep him through the streets. So when they came to the Gaon to do that, so the Gaon paskened for himself that he's not Mechuyev. He understood the Verstehtze that the Kovod HaTorah would not be enhanced by such a stupid, horrible thing. So what he did was he uncovered his tefillin shel-roish like this. When they were going there, he covered the tefillin shel-roish, and so he uncovered it, and all the goyim ran away. It means that there was this absolute kiyum of this posuk. V'ro kol ami ha'oretz kishem Hashem nikro alecha v'yoru mimekam. And that's the Yoga Mimeka. That was a kiyum. They saw the Shem Hashem Nikra Alav. Now, what does it mean, the Shem Hashem Nikra Alav? That they felt in the presence of the Gaon that they are, in whatever way is possible, in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I want to read to you a Shtikel Maral, very, very interesting, which really can sort of help us to take some of these ideas, which are really, you have to have a lot of imagination to live with these ideas as realities, because we don't experience the Ribbono Shel Olam in the ways in which we experience everything else. Here's the Maral in Netzach Yisrael, chapter 14. Uvomokom ze noisef bir lehamet oischa al shoyrish hadvorim. Whatever he was talking about over there. Vze kasher Yisrael miyuchodim v'nevdolim mikol ha'umos asher hem b'madrego ha'chumres v'Yisrael b'madregos ha'tzura, that the goyim are in a physical condition, and by Yisrael it's a spiritual condition. V'dovo ze bi'anu p'omim habe, k'mo sh'omu chazal, atem k'ruyim odom, v'ein ha'umos k'ruyin odom, because an odom is not somebody who is a purely physical zach, he's a spiritual thing. Atem so memel, atem kruim odom, vein umus kruim odom. Ki ilu dovo poshetu etzlam, she madregas Yisroel be'erech el ha'umus, ke madregas ha'odom el bale chayim ha'bilti medabrim. V'ze, why? Ki ha'odom nivdol min ha'bale chayim ha'o, v'meh she'ein ha'odom chumri gashmi, k'moy she'o bale chayim. V'ha'odom hu sichli, v'kach madregas Yisroel, she'hem nivdolim min ha'chome. Now, remember that word chome. Chome is what the Maral and the philosophers of that time used to, I don't know whether it's still in use, but chome is physicality. V'einom mutboim b'chome. The Yidden are not made up of physicality. Uke'ilu etzel Yisroel, now listen carefully, Botel ha'chomer etzel ha'nefesh, ve'ein ha'chomer rak noise she'olov roichlev ha'nefesh, u'botel ha'chomer hazeh etzel roichvoy, listen carefully, k'moy she'botel v'tofel ha'chomer etzel mishe roichlev olov. So what the Maral is saying over here, I don't know whether he was smiling or whether that's stuck at the pshat. That's why chaimer is called chaimer, why physicality is called chaimer, because of chamaya. In other words, what he's saying is that when a person rides on a donkey, so you don't identify the person with the donkey. The person is a person, a separate entity, no shaykhus to the donkey, and the donkey is there to, it's like a car, so he takes you from here to there. And that is what Klal Yisrael is. And that's what the Maral says, that L'gav Klal Yisrael, whatever physicality is there, is tofel to the ruchnius of the person, just as the chamaya is tofel to the rider. That is what the Maral is saying over him. And by the goyim, he says it's fakir, that whatever ruchnius there is tofel to the chamaya. And I guess to the chamaya. So that is what is going on over here, I think, that in the Shem Hashem Nikro Alecha. The Shem Hashem Nikro Alecha means that the person who is described in that way is a composite of Ruach and Geshem, and the Geshem is totally subsidiary to the Ruach. And that's what it is. But when you are standing next to a person like that, you feel in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. You feel in the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, this is the way I expect to experience the Ribbono Shel Olam. So, do we have an answer to the question which I asked on this passage in Kisovai, where you have this enormous, like almost disturbing mixture of the Hatzlocha in physicality and the Kedusha of Kishem Hashem Nikro Alecho V'yogu Mimeko. Your tefillin make you holy. They are a crown. So a crown is something that makes you holy. That's what it is. The Rambam at the end of Hilchos Tefillin, he discusses what a person who wears tefillin is. I mentioned that before, that contrasting what the Rambam says by mezuzah and what the Rambam says by tefillin. By mezuzah, he says that when you go in and out of your door, so you think about the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is this, and you think about the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is that. That's what the mezuzah reminds you of. But tefillin, it doesn't say it reminds you of this and that. It says you are, you become an onav, you become a kodesh. You don't have inappropriate thoughts. The tefillin create you in a different image. That is what the tefillin do, and that's the lashon of the Rambam. Very, very interesting. If you have the chance, take out the Rambam and Hilchos Sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzah, and you see that in the end of the tefillin part and the end of the mezuzah part, and you compare them to each other, it's mamish mind-blowing. That by you see, the mezuzah doesn't touch you up. It touches up your home. This is a place, I mentioned to you once maybe, that Rav Shlomo Shmuel Hirsch learns mezuzah, zuzah is miloshen moving, that the doorposts are supposed to control coming in and going out from the house, and that is what the mezuzah does. So that's why the mezuzah, we call the parchment mezuzah, which is a doorpost. It's not a doorpost, it's something that's joined to the doorpost, but it becomes part of the doorpost. Together with the doorpost, it controls who comes in and comes out of the house. But that's outside the person, it's not the person. But by tefillin, he becomes that person. If you wear a crown, you are a king. Not like this goyim over here in the book, The Mystery of the Disappearing Fish. But a pe'er, if it's really a pe'er, and you have any kind of shaykhus to wearing it, that touches you up. You have kingship in you. You are a king. Now, what makes that kingship? So the Maharal touched up for us that what makes the kingship is the fact that the Gashmias is tofel to the Ruchnias. You know, the Gashmias isn't really there. So what do you have? So I think that what we have, and I won't have to stop, but what can it really be? That imu lefona malchios kedeshetam lichuni aleichem. I think what it means is this, that when we say the psukim of malchios, yeah, we're talking about Hashem, of course. Hashem moloch geyus lovesh, so the Ribbono Shel Olam is a melech. Now that's going to be mamlechem, that I'm going to be mamlechem. Maybe yes, maybe if I'm an elech yid and I hear that that's what it says in the pasuk, so I'm going to be mamlech the Ribbono Shel Olam. I think that maybe the idea is that imu lefonai malchios, when you talk a lot about what malchus and how malchus expresses itself, so you become a melech. And only somebody who is himself a melech can be mamlech another melech. If I don't understand what malchus is, how can I be mamlech you? It's only if I myself am a melech, which I am when I put on my tefillin in a meaningful way. So leave the I out of that. It's not the way I am. It's the way I should be. But what is it when we put on the tefillin? That we become, we have a pe'er. We suddenly become beautiful people. What is a beautiful person? Oh, now we know. A beautiful person is a person by whom the physical aspects of his life and the sacred aspects of his life, they work together in perfect harmony. That is what this Pasha over here in Kisova is saying. I'm going to make your fields grow, and I'm going to make your enemies run away, and you're going to be the most successful farmers in the world. Ah, farmers! What can I'm better than a farmer? Oh, by the way, the Yisem Am Kodesh L'Hashem Elokecha, and that will make you an Am Kodesh. I know some farmers who are not holy. So what's going on over here? The Teretz is what the Pasuk is saying is, and that which is the picture of Malchus in the Torah is the total harmony between the Olam Hazeh and the Olam Haba. And those are the promises of the Torah. So obviously, like we talked about the Baruch HaChayinu, Kol Ma Shebora, L'Hachiyos Baim Nefesh Kol Chai, well, we're not all Gresa Tzadikim, and therefore we enjoy a bar of chocolate or some pizza, whatever it is that we enjoy, right? So we thank Hashem for that also. Oh, but the ideal is that there should be a total mizuk, should be a total mizug, just like in the Rebbeinu Shleilam. There's no difference, kviyochol, by the Rebbeinu Shleilam, whether he creates a river or a mountain, or he creates the Chofetz Chaim. It's the same thing. The Rebbeinu Shleilam is kuloi toiv, and everything that he creates is kuloi oruch, and kuloi kodesh, and kuloi an entirely, all right, I can't think of the words, but the entire all right, zivuk, I can't think of the English word. The entire zivuk between the physical world and the sacred world lies in that, in that relationship with the Rebbeinu Shleilam, that Shem Hashem Nikro Alecha, that the Shem Hashem is Nikro Alecha. We want, when we're mamlich the Rebbeinu Shleilam, who is mamlich? We. Kizeshe namlichu alechem, right? Imul von amalchi, is kizeshe tamlichu alechem. You should be mamlich me. What, the Rebbeinu Shleilam is interested in Moshe Eisenman? That I should be mamlich him? I mean, what is the Rebbeinu Shleilam? Doesn't he know me? The teretz is that, yeah, he's interested. Why? Because it's shaykh that even for a person who's very, very far from any kind of ideal, but if he's serious about his life and he really, really, really is determined to live by the standards which the Rebbeinu Shleilam gives him to live by, so that will make another person who's standing there, let him be magish, there is a Rebbeinu Shleilam somewhere. We all have met tzaddikim, and we've all met Gresel Menschen. And of course we all felt that there is a godliness sort of in the avira of the place. And maybe that is the imul von Amalchus Gedeshe Tamlichuni Alechem. Tamlichuni in the sense, make yourself into the kind of person in whose presence another person who's watching would say, you know, I had an enormous experience today. He'll come home and tell his wife, I met this person and I felt closer to God. That's a magritige Sache. And maybe that is the Tamlichuni of the mitzvah in Rosh Hashanah. And that is the Kabbalah's Malchus Shemaim, of which perhaps we are capable to become the kind of people who remind people of the fact that there is a Rebbeinu Shleilam. Yeah, and why will they be Yore? I'm glad I didn't forget this. So why will the people be Yore? Because that is the scariest thing in the world. For a person who's not at that level, so to see somebody who's in control of himself, who doesn't allow his tivus and his stupidness and whatever it is to take a hold of him and make him do all kinds of stupid things and wrong things. Yeah? Why? Because I can't stop myself. I can't. So that's scary when you meet a guy who can, that's scary. Because if he can, so maybe I can also. And maybe it's not the pshat is that I can't, but maybe the pshat is that I can't be bothered. Oh, Sidovas to Trachten. Rabbi said, should all have a good Rosh Hashanah. I think we'll have another shiur before Rosh Hashanah, Yetz Hashem. But it's time to become a little serious. And the beauty is that it's beauty, the beauty of Shleimus, the beauty of Shleimus, that there's no contradiction between the beautiful field and the beautiful soul. It's all pointing to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. And together, they are Koyre, the shame of the Rebbeinu Shalom upon people who can bring themselves to live that way.